in Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
As we come to your preach word, the first word we preach this year, Father, speak to me and through me as always. People will hear a word from you. For it was on Calvary where our salvation was sealed. And thank you, God, for the resurrection. Got up with all power in your hands. Now our hearts long to hear from you. Father, open our hearts and minds that it would be receptive to whatever you have to tell us. In Jesus' name, and for his sake, we pray. Amen. The book of 1 Samuel. Give praise to God for these ministers of music and this choir. They touched our hearts this morning. Book of 1 Samuel. So glad to see Sister Vicki Hall. God bless you. Amen. Praying for you and your family. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will I mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Again, the A clause, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul? Look to your neighbor, standing or sitting on the side of you, and say, neighbor, this is a new year. Get over it. God bless you. Thank you, urchins. Get over it. Shame on you. Been holding foolish grudges for years. In the same church, sit on opposite sides of the church, can't stand to look at each other, but have the audacity to lift your face to God. You try your best to avoid individuals so you wouldn't have to speak to them and use those same lips to say, Lord, I love you. When they're coming in your direction, you withdraw your hand even before COVID. COVID have given you an excuse now. But even before COVID, you would take your hand and go in the other direction and use that same hand to raise it in the sanctuary and say, God is good. Y'all have to look over me. This is a new year. But I got to tell you the truth. God said, how can you love me whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you see every day? You a liar? I just want to tell y'all, you need to get over it. It wasn't my fault. They did. It's time to get over it. I should have been the president of the ministry, but you're not the president. Get over it. I should have been on program, but they won't. Get over it. Because God has been too good to you to hinder yourself from praising the God. Now, whatever you have transpired, what has transpired last year, that's last year, God has brought you over to 2022. You need to let that stuff die with the year. Don't bring that old foolishness over to 2022. Don't come in church anymore and sit like a primer bull and you're not going to praise God because this individual is singing. You're not going to witness because this individual is preaching. When this preacher preach, he say the Lord is good. You ain't going to say nothing because you don't care nothing about the preacher. But when your friend preaches, you say, yes, he is. Well, it doesn't make a difference if an infidel come up here and say the Lord is good. I'm going to witness. A drug addict can come off the street. Prostitute can come dressed just like she is. Can walk in here and say, God is good. I'm going to have to stand on my feet and testify he's good. Get over it. The children of Israel in the text demanded a king. God gave them just what they asked for. Because before then, God would allow judges to rule over the people. But Israel said, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. So based on their requests, God gives them a king by the name of Saul. Saul became the first monarch in Israel's history. And you have to be very careful what you ask God for. Because sometimes he'll give you just what you're asking for. And from the beginning, Saul proved to be problematic. He was always doing that what God had told him not to do. In chapter 15 in verse 9, Saul blatantly disobeyed God. Saul spares Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and kept the treasure of the Amalekites for the wealthy of Israel. And in chapter 15, God got upset, and in essence, he said, okay, that's it. And you don't ever want God to get a that's it with you. Because my brothers and sisters, he's almost there. God allowed COVID. And we stayed home from worship. He understood that. But then he touched men and women's hearts in the science field to come up with a vaccine to help us with COVID. Now you're saying, I don't trust the vaccine. Well, it's not the vaccine you need to be trusted. You need to be trusting the God that put it in the hearts of the minds of the people. Y'all didn't get what I'm saying. Look, I told you it's a new year. It's a new me. It's going to be a little raw, but it's going to be real. Now, New Year's and New Year's Eve, I'm not naive. Y'all wasn't taking communion New Year's Eve night. No, you wasn't. When you went in the store and said, give me a fifth, you didn't read in the back of it what was in it. You don't even care how it was made, but you know how it was going to affect you. Y'all didn't hear what I'm saying. Can I just be more real with you? Some of you rolled them tight and white. Didn't really know where it came from. Didn't even try to research the bud that you were smoking. But when it comes to a vaccine that'll save your life, you want to question. You want to see where it comes from. Baby, I can tell where it comes from. It comes from the throne of God. He gave Israel what they asked for. And Saul was a problem king. And God says, in essence, that's it. I'm done with Saul. Chapter 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, God said, it repented me that I set Saul to be king. And repentant when it comes to God doesn't mean that God did something wrong. It really means when God said, I've repented, I'm grieved in my spirit that I let this took place. And so here it is, Samuel, the prophet. And my brothers and sisters, when there's a king, he always has a prophet to guide him in godly ways. Saul would not listen to anything that Samuel would tell him. No matter how much he would go to him and tell him what thus said the Lord, Saul would do the opposite. And in verse 35 of chapter 15 of Samuel, you will see where Samuel came and to see Saul until the day of his death. And he mourned for Saul. He said, I will not see you no more until your death. And he began to cry. And he began to mourn over Saul. But then God said in chapter 16, verse 1, you've been crying long enough. He said, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? Can I help you out? Can I help you get over it? Write this down. Number one, stop mourning over what God's hand is not on. Remember, Saul was the people's choice. It wasn't God's choice. And you are mourning over something God doesn't have his hand on. Whew. Everything that Saul is, he owes it to Samuel. Samuel told him about the power of God's call. Samuel told him how the prophecy would help him in the future. Samuel called a meeting and made a motion to elect him king. Samuel gave him wisdom and counsel when he didn't know what to do. But now Samuel recognizes that he will not get no return on that investment, because Saul rejected everything that God told him. And God says, my hand is not on him any longer. Saul's season is over. David's destiny is about to begin. Samuel is the prophet. He needs to know what God's hand is on and what God's hand is off. And let me tell you, can I help y'all? Sometimes we can want something or someone so bad that we'll think that they are in the will of God. Foolish desire clouds discernment. Sometimes you can want something and someone so bad that Satan will send somebody in your direction, and you will swear to God they've been sent by God. But time will tell. That's why you went through what you went through. That's why you had the heartaches that you dealt with. Because you thought it was God's will, but it really was your way. The man or the husband that you're praying for may not be tall and Denzel handsome. He may not catch every eye when he walks in the building, but he'll be the one to treat you right. Look at you, then got quiet. Now, Rev, he got to have something going for him. God is trying to tell Samuel, my hand is off Saul. It's finished. And when God says it's finished, trust me, it's finished. When God says it's done, trust me, it's done. Here's your praise cue on that. When Satan has bothered you long enough, and when God tells Satan it's done, Satan gonna have to leave you alone. When God tell the demons it's finished, they're going to have to leave you alone. That's why your praise shouldn't be hindered by the trials you're going through, because God has the final word over everything in your life. And if you know he has the final word, why are you sitting here first Sunday 2022 worried about what happened last year? And what this thing God for today. He told Samuel, what you crying for? My hand is not even on this. Don't worry about it. So now, not only stop mourning over what God's hand is not on. Another, to get over it, you got to stop mourning over what's not in God's will. God's will means, it means that we need to realize that our wants and desires cannot overrule or change what God has already planned. You can sit here and you can pray all day, Lord, don't let it rain. But if it's in God's plan for it to rain, it's going to rain. Let me tell you how you pray in situations like that. When you know you can't change what God has already planned. Since I can't pray for the rain to stop because God has already planned it. Here's your prayer. Lord, while it's raining, protect me. When the storms come, protect me. When the enemy comes on my trail, protect me. Because these things are going to happen. See, our plans are conditional, but God's plan is permanent. What you trying to say, preacher? I think, Reverend, you're being a little insensitive telling me to get over things. Well, I may not know how long you've been in what you've been in. I don't know how deeply someone has hurt you. I don't know what folk has said about you. I don't know how they treated you. I don't know the hell you've been through. And I know you're probably still processing your problems and looking for some closure over some issues. But can I tell you, I get it. I get it that they hurt you. I get it that they broke you. I get it that they disappointed you. I get it that they disrespected you. I get it that and understand all that you've been through, but the question still stands, how long are you going to mourn over it? Now, I understand when you lose a loved one. That's not what I'm talking about. Because it takes time to go over when you lose loved ones. I'm talking about the foolishness that surrounds you. I'm talking about when you're dealing with folk that are trying to bring you down and you're letting that hinder you. God's telling you how long it's going to take you to process it. How long is it going to take you to find closure? How long are you going to wait? But can I help you? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 35. Samuel starts to mourn. You got it? The last verse of chapter 15 is verse 35. He starts to mourn. But in chapter 16, verse 1, God shows up. Let me say it again. Chapter 15, verse 35, Samuel starts to mourn. Chapter 16, verse 1, the Lord shows up. And I don't know the chronological answer, how long it will take you, but in the biblical answer, what I'm seeing in the text, it only took one verse. Y'all ain't getting it. Y'all just missed it. It went over your head. It only took one verse for God to show up. And so if God will show up, and I know he's going to show up, when he shows up, I know he's going to show out. When he shows up, he's going to heal my body. When he shows up, he's going to pick me up and turn me around. When he shows up, he's going to put joy in my heart. When he shows up, he's going to put a smile back on my face. When he shows up, he's going to put clapping back in my hands, running back in my feet, a hallelujah in my lips. So before he shows up, I'm going to do it is required of me. I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If he's done something for you, you ought to say so. If you know he delivered you last year and brought you over, you ought to say so. Do I have anybody here in the church right now just want to say so? Could have been dead sleeping in my grave, but he blessed me. I came here to say so. God showed up and he tells Samuel, he says, how long are you going to let this affect you? How long are you going to mourn? Y'all may not believe this, but you know some people will upset you on Sunday on purpose. And then they'll watch you all through worship. Come on. I've been in this thing 30 years. I know. They'll come to you before worship starts and say something to upset you. Sit way on the back pew. Don't care what scripture the deacon is reading. Don't care how they praying, the choir, the ministers of music, the preacher. They are watching you during the whole service. And when you're sitting there, no matter how high the spirit is, they'll sit there and say, I got them. But when you're up shout and you just can't keep your seat, they're sitting back there saying, I don't know what I'm going to do about this here. And see, you got to make the devil angry this year. Don't give the devil a foothold this year when it comes to worship. Regardless of what you hear and what's being said, I didn't come here to hear you anyway. I came here to hear what God had to say and give him praise and worship. I came here this morning. You all think you came to Communion Sunday. You know what we're here for this morning? It's a funeral. Y'all miss it. You here for a funeral. You don't see the casket laying there. You don't see envy in the casket. You don't see hatred in the casket. You don't see jealousy in the casket. And I ask your pastor as I stand over the casket, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, don't have to deal with that no more. Come on, we're going to have a final viewing. Won't you come up here and just look what used to hold you? Why don't you walk up here and see what used to keep your arms folded in worship and bury it 6 feet under the ground that it'll never rise against you again? Whew. I got in some expressions at the funeral. Brother, when I get up, he's going to say, I ain't going to miss you. You kept me crying day in and day out. You took my joy from me. You took the smile from my face. Hasta la vista. So long. Won't see you no more. Then when somebody's going to get up and sing a song. Precious Lord. Oh, I wish I had somebody to take my hand. Lead me on. And let me stand. The flowers on the casket are dark. Because he who lays in the casket lived and operated in the realm of darkness. And I come to tell you, it's over. The subject for this funeral is get over it. Because he who lays here won't bother you no more. So stop mourning over what God's hand is not on. Stop mourning over what's not in God's will. But then finally, get ready for something better. Look what he tells Samuel. He says, I rejected him reigning over it. He says, son, fill your horn with horn. And go send it, and I'll send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. He says, now, if you stop crying over what my hand is not on, if you stop crying over what's not in my will, you will get ready for something better. He said, but to get there, you've got to feel your horn. Now, when it says the horn, it's reference to a prophet who carried a horn on his side. And in that horn, he had oil to anoint a king. To fill the horn is to suggest that the horn must be empty. And the reason why some of us can't fill with God's anointing, you've got too much stuff in your horn. You got too much of you in your horn. When you wake up and when you come to church, you want to be seen. You want to be up front. You snatch the mic out the man's hand because you want to be heard. But see, you got to get you out the home. I'm so glad y'all quiet this morning. Y'all came here ready to hear God's word. You got to get you out of the horn. There's not something else you got to get out of the horn. You got to get envy out of the horn. You've got to get covetousness out of the horn. And once you empty the horn, God said, now I'll fill you with my spirit. And so with his horn being empty, he pulls oil in the horn because Saul had drained everything from Samuel. And look, as he getting ready to go see Jesse the Bethlehemite, one of your sons will be anointed king. And this boy was small in stature, little old sheep herder. God tells him, that's your next king. Y'all ain't get what I'm saying? The unlikely candidate became the next king. God's next is always better than his last. What God is getting ready to do next will always be better than what you experienced God do last. Preacher, that ain't true. Well, the word of God says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that it is written that eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. When I come to church, I leave church expecting God to do something. And I hope you didn't get out of your bed this morning and came to Mount Zion and didn't expect God to do something. He did something. He did something for you already. And you don't even know it. You're sitting in church waiting on God to do something. He's already done something. But preacher, I don't know what he's done. But didn't he wake you up this morning? Isn't this January 2022? And it's not December 2021. Didn't he wake you up this morning? Didn't he bring you over this morning? Didn't he take care of you last year and the year before that when you had others in your family died from the coronavirus? You had the virus and he still spared your life, and you still sitting in the pew the same way you did last year. Baby, it's something new. God has poured new mercies on you now. God tells Samuel before I leave you, he says, Saul's season is over. Yeah. It's behind you now. David is awaiting. And you got some people, you need to understand that their season is over. You got to tell some folk, it's been good, but I got to let you go. It's been all right, my brother, my sister. But now I've got to move forward. So he tells Samuel, David will be your next king. God sends Samuel somewhere where Saul has no authority. He sends him to a place where Saul has no say. And that's one thing about God when he gets ready to bless you. He's going to bless you in a way that nobody won't be able to stop you. He's going to bless you in a way can't nobody hinder you. Have you ever been so blessed till it scared you to death? Have you ever been so blessed till you couldn't believe it was happening to you? My brothers and my sisters, it's been a long ride. COVID-19 affected all of us. And can I tell you, is still on the rise, but it cannot climb higher than my God, because it makes no difference how high the cases rise. God still sits high and God still looks low. And that's my joy this morning, that I'm willing to depend on God. I'm willing to keep on running with the Lord. Is there anybody here that is willing to testify and say, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side,
If God wouldn't have been with me, I wouldn't have made